This past week at Christian Lake Bible Conference, the new director there had asked all of the speakers that came in the course of the summer months to preach on the walk of faith, and particularly out of Hebrews chapter 11. He said, you don't have to preach every message out of chapter 11, but at least preach one out of chapter 11. But, you know, you follow whatever the Lord leads you to do throughout the course of that week. On Friday night, one of the sisters that a lot of folk drive in, or, you know, not only have people camping there, but a lot of folk from the surrounding area drive in for the evening services. And a sister there and her husband that had driven in told me on Friday night, she said, it's so wonderful to come to camp. And, you know, when they've got a theme that they're going to be focused on throughout the course of the whole summer. And she said, it's so interesting to see how different pastors take, you know, come to the same theme or portion of scripture and have, you know, such a completely different, you know, perspective on that passage of scripture or that subject, you know, and how they approach it. She said she's just excited to be able to come for the rest of the summer just to hear the differences that the different speakers are going to have as they approach this subject of walking by faith out of the book of Hebrews. So I really wrestled with the passage, and finally the Lord kind of settled in my heart what I would do, because it seemed like coming to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, I just couldn't step into chapter 11 without thinking my way through the whole book. So are you ready for a four-hour, five-hour seminar on the book of Hebrews here today? No, I'm not, obviously not going to do that. Being exhausted from this past week and yesterday's long travel, I don't think I could stand that long myself. But Hebrews took on just a new, fresh flavor to me in the course of this past week. I spoke on Monday night out of chapter 1 into chapter 2 on the basis of faith. And we just focused on the person of the Lord Jesus himself. Sweet to fall in love with him all over again, and the glorious passage of scripture as God has spoken to us under the fathers in time past by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. What a glorious thought that is. And that Son is still speaking, isn't he? In the power and the authority of his word, he's still speaking. And so we took on the different aspects of the Lord Jesus. He's not an angel. He became the captain of our salvation through all of the sufferings that he endured. It was announced after chapter 2 that he became, that we should consider, we should carefully think about the apostle and the great high priest of our profession. But in all of the messages here this week, I kept bringing them back and bringing them back to who is being spoken to. Because what makes this book of Hebrews so precious is to consider the Jews in that first century, that as the Gentile church is mushrooming, so many of the Gentiles are coming to turn away from all of the paganism and idolatry that they had been all of their generations immersed in, to now the small number of Jewish believers in predominantly Gentile churches. And the challenges that they were now facing as Jews with such a history and believing in Jesus the Messiah, that belief produced real challenges for them. And the book of Hebrews, of course, addresses that. But with them in mind, all of the Old Testament story and pageantry of the temple, of the tabernacle, the high priests, and the sacrifices, looking at the basis of our faith. And we jumped all the way over to chapter 10, where you come to the culmination, really, of everything that is said in the previous chapters, to the crescendo of truth in chapter 10, where it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." We looked at the access of our faith. But then we looked at the crisis of our faith, because believing in the Lord Jesus Christ brought some Jews to a point of crisis because of the cost. All that was involved with them no longer having access. Now they have access where they never had previously had access. Now they have access to the very throne room of God. But being a Jew, and now the Jews putting a great deal of pressure on the remnant, the smaller number of Jews that had trusted Christ, while they had tolerated Peter, James, and John and saw the miracles that they did, that toleration really didn't last too very long. The book of Acts, of course, chronicles that, doesn't it? And so the Jews very quickly began to turn against not only the Gentiles, but turn against their fellow Jews for having believed in this way and this Jesus of Nazareth. So he's really pointing out to the Jews, I know that your fellow Jews are telling you, you've lost so much. You can't come back to the temple now. You don't have the priest. You don't have the sacrifices. But all the emphasis of the book of Hebrews is to show them how much more. Look, you think you've lost a bunch? Look what you've gained. You could never have gained access now into the throne room of God Almighty. And of course, then you come to the critique of faith found here in chapter 11, not only by its definition, but by all of the great cloud of witnesses of those believers that by faith had walked with God and done great and glorious things simply by believing. Faith makes real the revelation of sin, doesn't it? By faith, you and I are awakened. It is, you see, I know that we know that we're sinners. But there is something that God gives as he begins by the power of the Holy Ghost to awaken and alarm us to sin as we never saw sin before. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said that when he comes, he's going to convince the world, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We may know about our sin. We may recognize it. But there comes a time when all of a sudden, in the power of the Holy Ghost, we see our sin in a light that we had never seen it before. Let me just read to you something out of Romans chapter 7. When the Apostle Paul, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, knowing the Scriptures inside and out, wrote and said unto them, to as he wrote to the church at Rome. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion in me, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I think there was a time, and it could be debated, when this moment in time happened for Paul. I've wondered if it didn't happen in those 3 days of blindness when he had met the Lord Jesus Christ, and now all that he had memorized, and he knew that lust was wrong, he knew that certain of the commandments, breaking them was wrong, but they never had the power. Doesn't it take the power of the Holy Ghost for such a language as he makes there? When he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I just wonder. But you and I know, we heard about doing things wrong when we were young, and yet we did things wrong that were wrong young, when we were young, and when we got caught, we were, oh, the tears to mom and dad, how sad and sorry I am, I didn't mean to do it. But you and I know that when the power of the Holy Ghost came on you, suddenly your sin became such a black, horrible death. The commandment finally came and sin revived. It really took a hold of you for what it really was. And you and I as believers now, sin takes a hold of us in that way. When we disobey our God, it is a horrible thing to us. It's a black thing to us. It's a miserable thing to us. That's because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we're alarmed and broken and disturbed by it. Faith makes real the revelation of our sin and equally makes real the only source of forgiveness. And with that forgiveness, assurance assures our hearts of our acceptance before God and our Creator and our Savior. Our heart is drawn out of this world by the attraction of what is beyond it now. Do I really want to continue in sin? No, I see something far better beyond. And that's exactly what has happened here to these Jews. But they needed to be reminded of all of that. You have something far greater in the Messiah than you could have ever have had in a Levitical priest. So faith by its very definition is, of course, God's mercy and grace, and it comes by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our heart has now been drawn out of this world by the attraction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had asked you to turn to Hebrews in chapter 12. Verse 1 reads, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Faith's glorious definition. I reminded our folks up there in New York this past week something that I saw I read many years ago and wrote in my Bible that Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, faith is not self in action, but self forsaken, self abhorred, self put away, that the soul may trust in Christ and trust Christ alone. I thought that was a good definition long ago. What is saving faith really all about? Saving faith isn't something that has been generated within me, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a grace it is to receive faith. Faith to see my sin for what it is. Faith is not self in action, but self forsaken. That is true faith that is awakened within us. That we no longer have any trust, any confidence that I can do anything by myself or for myself to deliver myself. Our study's there in the book of Galatians. We'll pick it up again last week. But as I said to you, Paul begins that study in Galatians by saying, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So we want to thank God for a salvation, a faith that is a delivering faith. But until you come to that place of death, really facing the death of your sin, you're going to still hang on to self. But true saving faith will cause you, it will be self-forsaken, self-abhorred, self-put away. So when the writer says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, God has put something in us. And by that definition, he begins to go through Abel and Enoch and Noah and all of these that by faith believed God. They believed God's word. So faith's history. The Bible tells us that chapter 11, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. And all of those that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 11, one by one, what did they do? They believed the word of God. Abel believed the word of God. Abel could not have made a better sacrifice than Cain, because faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see, faith, Abel could only offer a sacrifice based on the word of God. He could only exercise faith. So there had to have been something very clear that was given when God made the coats, provided that sacrifice, that Adam continued on in the family and presented to his sons. One would accept that word of God, one would reject that word of God. But Israel had a wonderful history. And they are described here in chapter 12, this great cloud of witnesses. Far more than just these that are recorded in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. A tremendous number. In Israel, all of its human history, believers and unbelievers, we've got a tremendous history of the past. Well, that third verse helps us to understand, to exercise. We understand, as it says here in chapter 11. We have this tremendous truth given to us. We understand these things. The world was created by our God. But we're considering here the completion of this faith. I want you to consider the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God, I want you to take that verse of Scripture and I want you to apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and He laid aside, we already know that from Philippians chapter 2, He laid aside all of that prerogative that He had as the Son of God to become the Son of Man. And so it is by faith that the Lord Jesus Christ lived. It is by faith that you and I live. Pastor Reno here a few years back came and spoke and encouraged us by that instruction out of 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Speaking about their faith growing exceedingly. And we know that our faith, whatever it is, it may be very tiny as we begin as believers, and different ones are given a certain measure of faith, but whatever faith we begin with, we can certainly, it can grow. But I simply want to emphasize for us here this morning, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I living by that faith, Paul would say that great text out of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith that you have has been imparted to you because a man stood in your place called Jesus of Nazareth. Born like we are born. Lived like we lived. Tested in every way as any human could possibly be tested. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever you and I are ever going to be called upon by God, by faith to do or believe or live, the Lord Jesus Christ has already, as a man, lived by faith, walked by faith, stripped of whatever advantage he would have had as God, laid it all aside, to live by faith. You remember on the night that he, the following day, would choose his disciples. Do you remember what he did? Spent all night in prayer, the Bible tells us. He voluntarily, In absolute subordination, his surrender to live by the power of God was real. It was true. His obedience, his submission, his dependence, his struggle, his suffering, all of it was done by faith. To give you and I his faith. And we stand not only by virtue of his death for our salvation. We live by the power of his faith. That's why your faith can grow. It can grow and should grow as it's dispensed to us. Looking always to the Father, the Lord Jesus was. Never resting or relying in his own strength, energy, wisdom, or purpose. He looked away from all discouragements, difficulties, and oppositions so that he might fulfill the will of the Father. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke there at the tomb and said that he was the resurrection and the life, you know that he said just a few moments later, he said, "Father, I know that you hear me. You hear me. You always hear me." And he spoke for Lazarus to come forth. He did that not out of his own energy and power. Though he was the resurrection and the life, he had not yet gone to the cross and he had not yet ascended. He is relying on the Father to answer his prayer that Lazarus would come out of that tomb. His prayers were real, and they were real acts of faith. And so the Scripture tells us here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he walked by faith. His dependence was real. We trust in Jesus, and we must also trust like Jesus. I know that you and I pray. And I don't know if I'm assuming that you're somewhat like me. There are times when I know my faith is really very small. And I may be asking, and I confess there's times when I finish praying and I know I haven't had much faith. And I've had a lot of doubt even in my praying. How do I get from that unbelief in my prayer, as the Father said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, I'm trying to believe. Help my unbelief." I think that the apostle is saying to these Jews, he's reminding them, he has laid out before them all of the benefits of the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where he stands now, praying for them, interceding for them as their great high priest. He has fulfilled all of these Old Testament scriptures. And while all of these that are recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11, the things that they did it by faith. And how wonderful it was that they did it by faith. But they had faith in the Word of God. Jesus. And if they did, and if they could do these great feats that they did, suffer as they did, all by a faith given to them, how much greater is the true faith, the true absolute submission of the Lord Jesus Christ? His faith in the Word of God. As you read Psalm 23, as we read it here this morning, I know you're thinking of David in terms of that, but would you think in terms of it that those are the very words that the Lord Jesus prayed? That the Lord Jesus looked to Psalm 23, read Psalm 23, and applied Psalm 23 to his own soul as the Son of Man? He laid aside everything as the perfect example of the man who lived by faith in the Word of God so that he could not only save you from your sins, but apply to you all of his work, including the work of his own faith. He wants you and I to believe the Word of God, believe and live by the will of the Father as he did. Jesus believed God's Word. He was perfect in that faith. He never had a faith failing. And the apostle here is saying, we've got this great cloud of witnesses, but look at the one that you have, looking unto Jesus, the very author and finisher of our faith. None of these in chapter 11 They could be a great example. They're a great encouragement because they are like us. But look away from them to the greater example of the man who walked by faith. Yes, he became the captain of our salvation through the sufferings, but he did all of that by faith because God's word had prophesied it. He applied it. Now you and I can live by his faith. We can apply his faith to our souls. Yes, that great cloud of witness in some aspect of faith, some portion of faith, but the Lord Jesus Christ in every possible gamut, situation, difficulty, circumstance, no matter what or where any child of God in any century, at any time, any missionary, any child of God, any grandma, grandpa, out on the farm, in the factory, no matter where you are or what circumstance God may ever put you in, the Son of God has already gone through what you have gone through. By faith, he has been wherever you have been or are or will be. You can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because this man, by faith, lived and fulfilled the perfect Word of God, will of God, in the power of God, and he had the Spirit without measure. This is what lies before you. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read to you out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Who's the Amen? That's the Lord Jesus. Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful, full of faith and witness. All to that of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ lived by faith. As the man. Notice again, Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2. What does it say? Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Christ. Looking unto the Messiah. No. Looking unto the earthly name. The name of the man, looking unto Jesus. Don't forget, it was Jesus, that man. That man, that carpenter, that lowly man, that man of sorrows and suffering. But that man, Jesus, in his manhood, lived by faith, lived by the Word of God. And he would apply that to us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Step away from trying to think that your faith hasn't quite measured up. There we're putting all the emphasis on us. Look away from that and see the faith of the Son of God. Look to the promises that are yea and amen in Christ. Look to Jesus. The only one in absolute every circumstance that any human being, any missionary, any pastor, any child of God could ever be called upon to do or say, there is faith by the Son of God available for you Trust Him. Trust His Word. You have the man who lived by faith. And that man is now seated in the glory and he's praying for you. And he has faith to dispense to you in every circumstance of your life. Anything he'll call you to do, he'll give you the faith if you'll believe him, if you'll believe the promises. Because you've got a man in the glory, full of faith. He's the faithful witness. He's the amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, died to send a sword. Death to self, to sin, to the love of this world. What can we anticipate? The only character out of Hebrews chapter 11 that I emphasized this past week was that of Abel. Because Abel became the first example of someone who believed the Word of God and then suffered for it. Think of Abel being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the word that his father had told him, and he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And because he did believe the word of his father, which was the word of God, he was on the receiving end of a world that is at odds with God. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. Abel became the pattern of faith to the whole human race. But only one man could take every possible circumstance, be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That man, Jesus, paid the debt for us that we might, by faith, his faith, a faith that has been granted to us, not our faith built up, not something within us, inherent in us, from us. No, it is not faith in as self in action. It is self-forsaken. Self-abhorred, self-put away, that the soul might trust in Christ and Christ alone. Christ for my today, Christ for my tomorrow, Christ for my eternity. So out of that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. I encourage you here this morning, this one that paid our debt, again, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So he's set to deliver us and help us to lay aside every weight and that sin that does still easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, because we have that man, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of the faith imparted to us by that grace that God has given. Grace, faith, to see the magnitude of our sin and the magnitude of the work of the Savior. Whatever the Lord might put into our hearts, whatever step of faith that God is calling on us to do, whatever that's going to entail, of sacrifice or struggle, just as it did with Abel. If we're going to live by this kind of faith, it will automatically put the Cains of this world in opposition to us. And so Abel is that pattern of faith. Pattern of faith and pattern of suffering. And so the child of God has the pattern of faith and the pattern of opposition. We have to run by faith, walk by faith, stand by faith, witness by faith. Yes, we've got this great cloud of witnesses and many more since then. All of the biographies and the believers that have by faith walked with God, stood with God, suffered at the hand of a cruel world, as Hebrews says, of whom the world was, they're not worthy of these. But while we have all of that, they're nothing to compare to the man, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who knows what the Lord's going to call upon each one of you who have been saved by His grace to do for His glory. And you might say, well, that's going to be too much for me. You'll always have that old nature sitting on your shoulder. If the Lord says, well, I want you to do this or that or the other, and it's going to be a great challenge to you physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever God calls upon you to do, there is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can look back on the man who is now the author and the finisher of the faith you possess. And there's more faith for you. There's more grace for you to do whatever God will call upon you to do. Whatever it is, believe the Word of God. He's always going to stretch our faith, isn't He? He's going to put us in places where we have to come, it's not going to be self-inaction. He's going to put us in a place where where your flesh will just not get the job done. And you're going to have to rely on the author and the finisher of your faith. But it'll be there. The grace will be there. The faith will be there. Why? Because of His unchanging Word to you. Think again of this in terms of the Jewish believers of that day. Thinking about their own national and spiritual history. They're being challenged in that day to forget this Jesus, because they were told by those around them that they had lost so much. But when the scripture here is laid out for them, and they step back and they see the glories and the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, it's time for me to lay aside every weight. And when that sin that easily besets me shows up, I want to look unto Jesus. He was tempted in all points like as I've been tempted, and more to come. And so what little bit of faith you think you might have exercised, that's good. He's going to put you in a spot where you're going to need to exercise a little more. But that's okay. Don't fret. Jesus has already been there. He's mastered that trial. And He has faith to dispense to you. And of course, the last of that will be when sickness takes in, and you can't you get like where Sister Sheila and others have got to that place where they couldn't pray, struggled even at reading the Bible. But don't worry. The faith will be there to carry you through the shadow of death. And you'll not fear any evil. You walked by faith during your days. You'll walk by faith in that last day. Lord Jesus, I thank you for having accomplished for me this great life of faith. Lord, you know I have failed you. I've more times than I could ever even imagine have struggled to believe you. How awful that has been. Thank you for again awakening me to this. Help your people here today, whatever they're struggling with in their own walk of faith, to acknowledge they don't have it in them to go this path, to try to walk in the power of self. It's only that that will discourage and depress them. Oh, let them look away and see Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And whatever opposition comes from the outside world, or whatever opposition, the sin that easily besets them, harasses them on a daily basis, whatever it may be, oh God, instill to their heart that Jesus, in all points tempted like as we are, his faith stood to the very last, that he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and finally cry, it is finished. And the life of faith finished in victory. And you proved it by coming out of that grave and ascending into glory. Oh, Lord Jesus, shed some of your glory on us today. And wherever our faith is weak, help us to look to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Aren't you glad that there is given to us saving faith? There is saving faith available to sinners. And it'll be sufficient, because it was sufficient on the day that he saved me. And it'll be sufficient on the day when God awakes you. Number 406 in your hymnal. Hymn number 406. We'll sing all four verses. You can stand with me as we sing. Seemed the right spot to close here this morning with this hymn. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. No merit of my own, his anger to suppress, my only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne, and shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. Oh, for the power of God, the Holy Ghost, to grant the faith to sinners, to truly acknowledge the gravity and the depth of their sin, and then to believe on the only hope, Jesus. Precious Jesus.